Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14. And we have been in the study of the book of Acts. And we've just been going down through it verse by verse. And what I love about that is when you go verse by verse through the Bible, you can't argue with the Bible. Today when I was talking with Brother, I'm going to say Brother Darrell now because he's a brother in Christ. When I was talking with Brother Darrell, I said to him, I'm going to show you what the Bible says. And when he was going through it, I just simply would give him the Bible and show him exactly what. Well, thank you very much. Don't you guys like her new haircut? Look at that new haircut. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. All right. And when we were going through it, I would take the Bible and I would say, now look at what the Bible says here, because I think it's so important. Brother Chester and I talk often about this, because I believe for the rest of Darrell's life, if anybody ever says, well, you know what, you're not really saved, or you know what, the Bible doesn't say that, he can say, you know what, I looked right here. Here's exactly what the Bible says. And that's what I love about these studies, is in these studies, we are looking exactly what God's Word says. And God's Word tells us exactly what took place here. And we've been studying in the early church, and now we're probably about 10 or so years through this early church, and we're seeing the ministry of Paul and Barnabas, and they started their very first missionary journey last week. And when we were studying last week on their first missionary journey, and I had it up here, and I forgot to get it up before the service because I was talking, so you don't get to see pictures during the service. But in the very first missionary journey, we saw them go over to the island of Crete, and we saw them go up and through a few other cities and to another city called Antioch, and they had worked their way through. They saw someone saved. They had opposition, though. And anytime you preach the gospel, there's going to be opposition. Anytime you're trying to be a witness to someone, there'll be some different opposition come your way. But now we see it, and we're going to finish up his first missionary journey in Acts chapter number 14, and we're going to walk right down through here. We're going to see him when he goes to Iconium, Lystra, and Paul, and we're going to see when he goes back to Antioch. And you're going to see something take place that when we see this, we're going to say, I'm so thankful that we don't face that today. Because he is going to go through an amazingly difficult time just doing what many of our missionaries do that we support. Just doing what we try to do at our church. Tell people about the gospel. We're going to see what happens to the Apostle Paul. That every one of us ought to be thankful that we're living the freedoms that we have. And we have right now, we ought to be thankful for it, because what Paul did, and just amazing testimony of a man that never gave up. And we're going to see that tonight. So let's open in prayer and then jump into Acts chapter number 14. Our Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for how you lead us. And that hymn is just a great reminder of your leading in our lives like you led the Apostle Paul. You continue to lead him on these missionary journeys, and he followed you and you used him in a great and mighty way. But it didn't go without some opposition. And so I do pray that in this study that we would learn, we'd be challenged, and that you would stir in our hearts to be faithful witnesses for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter number 14, look at where he goes first. It says in verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass in Iconium. So last week he was in an area and the Jews stirred up some people and they ended up leaving. I mean, those people didn't want it. They didn't want the gospel. Jews had come in and stirred them up. And so he said, all right, if you don't want it, I'm going to leave. And now we see he moves from where he was to Iconium. And when he comes to Iconium, I call this the place of division. The place of division. And watch why I say that in the text. It says that there went both together into the synagogue. Now the synagogue is where the Jews meant, says of the Jews. They didn't have a church building there then. The church is the people. But they didn't have a building there. So often Paul, when he went into these places on his missionary journey, he would go into the synagogues and preach the gospel to the Jews. So here he is and he's in the synagogue preaching. It says, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. And so here he goes. He goes into Iconium. He just got kicked out of another city. So he goes into Iconium and he begins to preach the gospel, as I tried to do this morning. And many people believed. The Jews got saved. Some of the Greeks got saved. I mean, people were getting saved. And just as we were excited for Darrell here tonight, I mean, Paul was thrilled and Paul was excited. Paul's spirits were lifted. I mean, he was fired up. I mean, these people were getting saved. And so in Iconium, in his missionary journey, he probably sets up and thinks, man, this is a good spot. God is really blessing. Things are going good. But all of a sudden, the division starts. Because look at this. Verse number 2 says, but, it's always after something good happens, here comes something. It says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Now notice how they stirred them up. And made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So now you got some saved, some Jews and Greeks saved, and they're excited. Man, I'm ready to grow. Now the Lord saved me. He's done this in my life. But the other Jews that don't believe in Jesus Christ, that still believe in the Old Testament rituals, they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah, they go to the Gentiles and get them all stirred up. And they stirred them up. It starts in the mind. Because when our mind is affected with the wrong things, it affects our outlook and how we handle it. Now, I said in Sunday school today, I gave a story about a man who didn't honor authority of the police and things like that. And today, I'm ashamed and saddened to say, and if you saw the news, we had three more police officers that were assassinated or killed down in Louisiana. Did you hear the news today? Three more police officers killed. And I talked about that in Sunday school, and it breaks my heart. And I have said this, and I've only seen, and I'm sure that other people have said it, and I've only seen one person say anything about it, and even on the news. And so here's a quick little rant, and it's going to have a point in a second. But do you know why a lot of this, I think, is taking place? I think we're reaping the consequences of what we have sown in the last 20-some years. If you think about the music that a lot of the inner city people and even the rap music, and what does that stuff talk about? Guns, drugs, criticizing police, gangs. And now we are seeing the consequences of what we have put in our mind, the evil that we've put in our mind, that these next, my generation and others have put in their mind for the last 20 years. We're seeing it played out for real on cops now. It's my opinion. I'm taking my opinion. I'm not saying Bible. I'm giving you my opinion. But there's no doubt that the music of what that has been filtering in now, some of the things they used to say. I listened to some of the music growing up talking bad about cops and drugs and having guns and shooting you and doing all this. That's what they're doing for real now. And it's affected the mind, because when Satan wants to attack, he gets right at the mind, because as you hear me say all the time, our thoughts are the blueprints for our actions. And so in this story, in this case, I think we're seeing it in our society today, but in this case, the Jews wanted to get people mad, and so they started to affect the way they think. Because if I can get you to think different, then it will change how you behave yourself. And so they started to think different, and so they started to behave different, and says, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And so now here's Paul. He's excited because a bunch of people got saved. But now he's got a bunch of people that are against him. And watch what happens. He says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. So they still spoke boldly. What I love about the Apostle Paul, I usually want to carry my Bible, but holding this I'm not going to as much. But what the Apostle Paul did, and what was amazing about it, is he didn't back down out of fear, but he still boldly proclaimed the word of God. It says, in the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, in his grace. He's still boldly preaching the word. And he begins to try to talk with these guys, and he says, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. He starts talking about the grace of God. And God not only did that, but he did and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. God allowed the Apostle Paul, which he did for some of the apostles in this time period, in the transitional period of the church, to do some amazing miracles. So now you've got people that are saved, you've got people that are rejecting it, you got the Apostle Paul in the middle, and he's still standing for what's right, and he's doing some miracles, and people are watching this and they're amazed, but they're still opposing the gospel. Says verse number 4, but the multitude of the city was divided, and the part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made on both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra. So here's the Apostle Paul. They're standing for what's true. They're standing for what's right. And then all of a sudden, they hear rumor that there's an assault that's going to be made on them. They're going to actually stone them. Brother Brandon sang the song, He Leadeth Me. And that was a pretty good indication that the Lord was leading them to move to Iconium. You know, when somebody wants to kill you, I think that's maybe the Lord leading me to move. And so they said, you know what? I feel like it's time to go. And it was of the Lord that they left. And so, unfortunately, Iconium, his stop there, started amazing. People getting saved, a multitude of people. but it ended in division. Now you got some that are saved and you got others that are rejecting. And they're running Paul and Barnabas out of town, threatening to stone him. So they threaten him. So does Paul stop and get discouraged and quit? No, watch what he does. He goes to Lystra. And notice verse 7. And there they, what? Preach the gospel. You know what he did? He said, well, he went to Lystra and he changed his tactics. Nope. He went to Lystra and he preached. He did the exact same thing. He did the same thing that got him in trouble in Iconium. He does it here. He just began to preach the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is the only thing that changes lives. That's the only thing. Jesus Christ, salvation, is the only thing that can change your life. And so that's why he preached the gospel. He went to Lystra. He started to preach the gospel. This is where he met the young man named Timothy. And when he comes back in his second journey, we'll get to later, he ended up bringing Timothy alongside of him. But notice what happens here. It says, he says he finds a man at Lystra, impotent. We're just going to say that for now. Let's say he couldn't walk. Let's say he couldn't walk, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. So he heard Paul preach the gospel. We saw that verse number 7. Here's a guy, he's not been able to walk since birth. He hears the gospel preached, and what does he do? It says this, when he heard the gospel speak, he steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. So here the Apostle Paul is given the ability to do an amazing miracle. He left Iconium where he preached, a bunch got saved, but it divided. Now he comes to Lystra, and I call Lystra deception. Deception. Because here's a man, he gets here, and immediately this man's saved. Paul heals him, the Lord heals him. He's leaping around, he's excited, he's thrilled, but watch what happens again. When the people saw that Paul had done, they left, lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury. So here's what happens. They had in Lystra, they had an Old Testament kind of custom. I won't get into it right now, but they had a belief that I actually was listening to a guy give the whole description of it. And the Reader's Digest version of it is that they had a belief in their culture that there was going to be some guy come named Jupiter and some guy come Mercury that were going to heal people and do these miracles. And so when Paul came into town, not knowing this, Paul came in and God gave him the ability to heal somebody. And then the guy gets saved and he's leaping up and down. The people of the city go, wow, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy that we believe. Here is Mercury and here is Jupiter. And so Paul doesn't really realize what's going on yet at this moment. So they're just going around amazed that God is blessing. And then all of a sudden he hears rumor that these people are calling them gods. Now can you imagine, now nobody in this room would be foolish enough to say that, but could you imagine if after I announced Brother Darrell got saved today, all of a sudden Cliff Robinson started going around saying, you know what, that Pastor Brad, he may be a god. What if he is a god? Now Cliff's wondered that before and I've had to tell him, no, I'm just kidding. But, I mean, imagine if someone started going around saying, man, that Pastor Brad, he must be God. Or maybe that Brother Dylan, man, I saw him lead singing. He leads singing like a God. Now, we would be insulted by it, would we not? And we would stop the crowd and everybody else would say, hey, no. My wife would be the first to say, do you know that guy that's standing up there? She would say it. But we would say, how foolish. And that's where Paul is. Paul, when he hears that, notice he is so ashamed. I said it in a joking way, knowing that you take it. But I mean, he was so upset. Notice what he did. And so broken over it. It says in verse number 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men with like passions as you. He's saying, no. They rent their clothes. They do that in extreme times. They wear layers. And it's almost like if I tore this jacket off and I'm falling down before you. And he's saying, no, listen. Why are you even saying this? I am just like you. I'm a man of like passions. At times I'll get worried. At times I'll get angry. At times I'll sin. And no, I am not a God. He says, no, there is no other God other side of God. And then he starts to preach and he says, verse 15. And saying, sirs, why do you these things? And he goes on to preach that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own. So he's saying, now he goes and he sees a guy healed and saved. And he's thinking, man, Lystra is going to be awesome like Iconium started. And now they're saying he's a god. And he's going, no, they're deceived by the false teaching. And he starts to share with them there's only one God and he created everything. But now watch what happens to him. This is the part I was talking about at the beginning. I couldn't even imagine. It says, nevertheless, verse 17, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And when these sayings scarce restrained they the people, and they had not done sacrifices unto them, they wanted to do these sacrifices. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. So the people that ran them out of Antioch and the people that ran him out of Iconium decided to come into Lystra to try to stop the gospel again. You know, isn't that true that Satan wants to do whatever he can to stop the gospel? I'm going to share a testimony. I know I've said Daryl's name several times today, but I'm just so excited for him. But I'll tell you this, in these last few months, I have been fearful that maybe I messed something up, to be honest. I never even told him today. Because back at the revival meetings, he raised his hand, he wasn't saved. And we've been saying we need to get together and talk. And in my own insecurities, in my own fear, I didn't want to push him. So I didn't ever approach him as I should probably and say, hey, let's talk, let's get together. But our schedules would change, mine would change, his would change, and we never got to have that talk. And I wasn't pushing it and pursuing it. And I was, in my heart, I thought, man, I've probably blown this. What if now he doesn't want to get saved? Or what if something happens to him? I have blown it. And you know what? Satan was discouraging me and putting fear in me. And matter of fact, within the last week, I said, you know what? I'm just going to approach Daryl and I'm going to say, hey, do you want to be saved? He approached me today. I didn't even get a chance to. But I said, I've got to do this. Because I felt like if I don't, Satan is going to try to hinder him from being saved. As a matter of fact, I felt like in the few months, Satan was changing our schedules or whatever to keep him from being saved. And I was finally going to get to the point where I was trying to give up the nerve, just say, you know what? Even if he says, I'm never going to play basketball with you again, I'm going to just go talk to him. And then he comes to me today after the service out there and says, hey, I need to be saved. I'm like, oh, great. That made my job easy. But you know what? That's fearful. That's terrible. As a pastor, I should have just been willing to go. But I wasn't. And you know what? Satan will do whatever he can to hinder anybody from sharing the gospel. I'm thankful today he lost, by the way. I love that. He lost, by the way. Satan lost. But we've got to be careful because here there's deception. And now what do they do? It says, and there came thither these Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And having, they just throw this in there like it's not a big deal. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So here's what they do. When they stoned you, they would often, there are times they would tie you down. At other times they would just, they would hold you down. But let's say, I don't know the exact way they did it here, but let's say they caught him and they tied him down. And they would take stones. Now, when I say stones, it's not these just little stones, though maybe some would throw. But they would take stones. And they would throw them on your body to kill you. Typically, that would kill you. And they had him to the place where they thought he was dead. So they drug his body out of the city and left him there. Now, there's a debate. Some say he died. Some say he didn't die. You say, what do you think, Pastor Brad? I have no idea. Some say that he did die. And that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, when he says, when he was taken up to heaven, he said, I don't know whether it was in spirit or not in the spirit. Some say it's then. I don't know. I have no idea whether he died or not. All I know is when they looked at him, and they probably stoned other people and seen it done. We've seen it with Stephen. When they looked at him, they said, he's dead. Drag him out. They drug him outside of the city and left him there. So was he dead or not? I don't know. We'll have to wait to get to heaven and find out. But I know that if they're looking at you and they look like you're dead, you're pretty bad off. He was pretty bad off. Why was he so bad off? Because he preached the gospel. Because he was telling people how to be saved. And in their minds, they got deceived and people came and stirred them up and they got so mad that they were willing to kill somebody because he shared what I shared this morning at this church service. And they were willing to kill him. And notice what happens. So they stoned Paul. It's interesting to me they didn't Barnabas or anybody else. It was just Paul, the preacher. And in verse number 20, I do like this, though. It says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So they drug him out of the city. The disciples stood beside him. They didn't leave him. They didn't abandon him. They stood right by his side as his dead body lay there, if he was dead or not. All of a sudden, he comes back to life, or he finally came to. Either one, whatever you believe, either came back to life or he came to. The disciples are there, and he goes right back into the city. And he goes back to Derbe. And then verse 21, watch what verse 21 says. And when he had preached the gospel to that city, he goes right back to preaching. And how do you get this guy down? Can you imagine after the service today? I can't even. Another extreme illustration. Imagine after the service today, you guys are like, you know what? Or people came in and said, you know what? You shouldn't preach the gospel. And they tied me down out in the parking lot and started throwing stones at me to kill me. And if somehow I lived, yeah, Kim, would you be leading the march? Look at her back there. But if somehow I lived, come next Sunday, to be honest with you, I would like to think that I would stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to preach again. And in my mind and in my dreams, that's how it would go. But in my flesh, I'd be like, well, I may move to somewhere else far away and preach, because that's a scary thing. But Paul immediately got up, went to Derbe, and it says, and he preached the gospel. You know what? And what do? We share the gospel with someone and they say, no, I'm not interested. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, no, I can't. Oh, I can't believe it. I blew it. And we're scared to share the gospel with people. Paul was stoned to death, possibly. And immediately when he revived, he went back into the city and started preaching the gospel again. You could not get this guy down. He was, I said, not only do we saw the Lystra's, Iconium's division, Lystra's deception, but here's Paul's determination. He was determined, I'm going to preach the gospel. But not only his determination, but you see his discipleship. Because watch what he did. He preached the gospel and taught many, and they returned again to Lystra. This is where he got stoned. Lystra is. He went to Lystra where he got stoned. Then he went to Iconium where they threatened to stone him. And Antioch where they threw him out of the city. Those three places. Threw him out of the city, threatened to stone him, and actually did stone him. And he goes back to all three places. And why did he go back? What is so important? Why go back? Here's why. Look at verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now I'm going to stop there for a second. Because I think this is so important, not even in light of what happened today with Daryl being saved, but this should be the heartbeat of our church. And here's what he did. He had been to Iconium and people, or Antioch, and someone got saved. He went to Iconium and people got saved, though they kicked him out of the city. He went to Lystra and some people got saved, though they stoned him. And so then he went to Derbe and preached, and then afterwards he said, you know what, I've got to go back. There's churches that have not been established. There's Christians that have just been saved and they need help now. They need disciple. They need to grow and they need someone to teach them. And so he said, I can't stop now. I'm going to go back. And he went back. He went back to Iconium and he started to help the young believers, confirming them, saying, you know what, let me help you with some scriptures. Let me answer some of your questions. Let me help you to grow in your faith. And then he went back to Lystra. Man, that's where they stoned you, Paul. He didn't hide. He went back, found the believers there, and he said, hey, let me help you. Let me confirm you in the faith. That in confirming didn't mean he placed them in the faith. This meant he answered any questions you have. What can I do to help you? I want you to grow. I want to encourage you. You can do this. I know I got stoned. Because you got to think of those Christians in Lystra. They're going, wow, they just killed the guy that led me to the Lord? Man, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And you know what he did? He comes in there afterwards saying, listen, don't keep your mouth shut. Tell people about Jesus. Learn. Jesus loves you. And they started to teach him. And then he goes to Antioch and he starts to tell people there. Why? Because once someone gets saved, we need to help them to grow. This is playing in my message long before I ever knew Daryl was going to be saved today. But you know what? We have a responsibility. I have a responsibility, and this church has a responsibility to encourage him, to help him to grow in his faith. I was telling him that as soon as he got saved. I said, you know what? You got to grow and the Lord will help you and he'll give you the grace to help you. But you know what? That's everybody. Whenever you get saved, help them to grow. When Russell got saved a few years ago, 80-some years old, and he still is growing in his discipleship together and everything's growing. Why? Because even at 80-some years old, as a new believer, he needed to grow. I mean, no, every one of us need to grow. And his thought was, which a lot of churches in the past, they used to say, man, I got to see as many people saved as I can. They'd have big days, and I'm all for big days. They try to put in their newspapers or the Sword of the Lord, man, we had 100 people saved today, but then they would never follow up with anybody. Now, not every church. I'm not blanket statement every church, but a lot of churches never followed up with people. They never helped them in Bible studies, never answered their questions. They never did discipleship with them. They never encouraged them. So you know what happens? I said this morning. If you ever watched National Geographic, which I used to turn on that channel, and you ever watch them lions? Well, the lions don't really hunt, do they? It's the lionesses, is that what they're called? They're the ones that do all the hunting, which I kind of like that, by the way. But anyway, so as far as the taking care of the food and everything, but no, I mean, they. So if you watch that, whenever those, let's say those wildebeests, when that lioness is about to pounce and she's coming after him, who does she go after? Does the lioness go after the strongest wildebeest there? No. If you watch them and they're action packed, man, it's good. That lioness goes after the sick and after the young. Now why? Well, the sick, that would be a good picture of believers that are not walking with the Lord, they're not growing in their faith, not spending time in God's Word, none of those things. Boy, those sick, boy, they don't have any much strength, they're an easy target. And guess what? The young, not as fast, they're an easy target as well. Well, what do you think Satan wants to do to young believers? He wants to attack. He wants to get them discouraged. He wants to get them confused. He wants to bring in, like what happened at Lystra, some false teaching, whatever he can do to discourage. And that's why as believers, God gives us a responsibility. He says, go into all the world and preach, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. See, we have a responsibility not only to see them saved, but then help them to be baptized and help them to grow in their faith. And that's what Paul was doing. He said, listen, I know I've been to these different places, but now I've got to come back and I want to encourage the young believers. I want to get them grounded in the Bible. And then I think verse number 23 is important too. Look at what he said. And when they had ordained them elders or pastors in every church and prayed with fasting, you know what else he did? They got them involved in a church. So what happened was not only did he encourage them and he got them into the Word of God himself, but he said, we got to get you guys in a church and I'm not going to stay here, he said. So he started to get the established pastors, young men, maybe like a Dylan, young men that could pastor a church, and they established churches in Lystra and a church in Iconium, and he got these young believers in a church where they could learn the Word of God and grow and study. And isn't that the same philosophy we have today? When someone gets saved, what do? We want to encourage them, study, help them get in the Word of God, help them to grow. We want to get them involved in church, want them to see them baptized. Why? Because it's just taking the next step. It's just growing in your faith. And that's exactly what Paul did. And he did it. We do it today. And we get sidetracked because of a busy schedule. He did it in spite of being stoned and left for dead. So basically what I'm saying here is we need to have this philosophy even if people were trying to kill us. We're still saying, I want to see people saved. I want to see people grow. I want to get them involved in church. Even if you're going to kill me for doing it. That's what the Apostle Paul was willing to do. In America today, we're not losing our life for that. But are we willing to do it even if it interrupts our schedule? Are we willing to say, you know what, I'm going to meet with you and disciple you even if I have to change my schedule. I want to encourage you even if I have to go out of my way and change some of my plans. I want to help you. That's what was going on. Paul was determined and he was determined to disciple these young believers. And then finally, watch what he happens. So once he leaves there, he goes back to those places to try to help these young believers to grow. And then he goes back to his home church. In verse numbers 26, he says, and thence he sailed to Antioch, and from whence he had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they have fulfilled. And when they had come, they gathered the church together and rehearsed all and opened the door of faith into the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. You know what this is? This is their declaration. This is the very first furlough. Now, if you've been in church for some time, you know how missionaries go off to the field, and usually they're there for about 4 years, and then they'll come back for about a year, and they'll report to all the churches that support them what's happening. You know, you remember that? Remember in December we had the Shelnick family from Thailand. I wasn't here, but they came back from Thailand and told the churches that are giving them money, here's what God has been doing. It's called furlough. This is the very first time it ever happened. Paul went out, it's been about 2-3 years, and he's been in all these cities we looked at in the last 2 weeks. They was there in 2-3 years. And now he's coming back to his home church in Antioch that sent them out and said, let me tell you what God has been doing. And he shared with them the goodness of the Lord. And I think, there was a little phrase that caught me. When he came back, he said, he gathered the church together, rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. You know what I would have said? Here's me. If I'd have come back after all this, I'd have come back and said, hey guys, you know what? They tried to kill me out there. Man, when I got out there, I got to Lystra and they stoned me, left me for dead. I actually, if he died, he'd say, man, I died and the Lord brought me back, or I was almost to death and I came back. That's what I would have said. He never even mentioned it in the text. In the text, here's what he said. Man, God's been good. And God has opened a door wide open for us to take the gospel to the Gentiles. If his wide open door is being stoned to death, man, we've got it blown wide open in America today. We've got a freedom to share the gospel. So I want to wrap it up this way. Paul, on his first missionary journey, faced division, faced deception. He faced stoning, but he never stopped. And as a church, today we rejoice in Daryl being saved. We've rejoiced in 4 years, 3 years, seeing different people saved at different ages. God's been good. Matter of fact, if I look back at our church now, we've seen someone in their 80s, 70s, 60s. One lady, I don't know her age, but I'm going to say maybe 50s, now 40s. We're missing only the 30s and 20s. So if anybody's 30 and 20 and you're not saved, tonight's the night, all right? No. We've had younger ones as well. You know what? God has been doing an amazing work, but it's just beginning. And it's just the first step, because we got to help people to grow and we want to be able to see them come to the Lord. So my question for us today is, what are we doing as a church? What's your philosophy? What's your philosophy in seeing people saved and to grow? We know what it is in parenting, don't we? In parenting, I'm not trying to be crude, or I'm not trying to be anything, and I won't say anything extreme. But in parenting, we obviously know how to have children, and we have learned how to raise children. I'm not trying to be jokeful. But how do we have children spiritually? How do we see people saved? How do you lead someone to the Lord? Do you know how to do that? Number two, how do you help them to grow in their faith? Do we know how to do that? If you say, you know what, honestly, I don't know. I've been in church for years and I don't know how to do that. Then that's something we got to work on. Because that's the heartbeat. If you study what Paul did, what God said in the early church, that's what he said. Let's see people saved and let's see people grow and let's see people be active in serving in the church. And that's what Paul did. That's a simple philosophy. Even if we're going to be killed for it,